So we continue in our study this quarter about the life of a Christian and looking at things that are, many of us may think, oh, we've covered this many times in sermons or classes and so forth, but it never hurts to look at it again, build up our remembrances, help us to reinforce our walls that we need, reinforce our strength, our armor. Last week we talked about the fact of our duty to Christ and the fact we belong to Him. And one thing that was mentioned in the class last week, and we're going to expand on it a lot more this week, is as a Christian and in our life, we have a duty to Christ and to His church. Now, when we use the term church, does it have different meanings to us? When you were 6 years old and said you're going to church, what did that mean to you? Going to this building. You're going to go to Bible class. And sometimes that term is still used by adults. Are you going to be at church this next Lord's Day? What is church? What does that word mean to us? What should it mean to us? What meanings does it have? Does it have more than one meaning? Yes, it does have more than one meaning. What does it mean? Body of Christ. What?
Assembly of the saints.
Called out, assembly of the saints. Those are descriptive terms. Are there, and we talked about this last week, the way that we become a member of the Lord's church. Is that spelled out for us in the Scripture? What's required to become a member?
Obedience.
Obedience. That's the primary word. Obedience to God's will and God's commands in the Scripture. He laid out to become a member, He laid out all the rules and gave them to us. We talk a lot of times about being a first century church. Are we a first century church? We're a 21st century church. We're in right now. We strive to be like the church that's described in the Bible that was started in the first century. Because that's the standard. We call it a first century church. Is the first century church supposed to be any different than the 21st century church? Are the same rules? Yeah, same exact rules, same exact structure. When we talk about God's, and the Scriptures talk about how many churches there are. One body. As it says in Ephesians, one body, one church. So are we the same church that took place in the first century? If there's only one, and if we, can there be one in the first century that's different than the one in the 21st century if we're going by the same guidelines? Tasha? Yes.
As we have been obedient.
Each of us have been added to the one church as we have been obedient. And it's a weird question, kind of a catch. Kind of, okay. Can we file for membership? Can we apply for membership? Think about it. I'm using a broad term. To apply means to comply with requirements in order to become a member. And to do that, yes, we have to be obedient. Okay, now she says she can move from another area and place membership with this, the same church. Okay, now we're starting to look at things the way we use and we view the church differently. Dirk, you had a comment? As Dirk was commenting, those of you might have heard, he says, comparison to becoming a member of the Lord's church is like becoming a citizen of this country from another country. There are requirements. You can't just come and sit down. Does coming in here in this building on a worship service on a Sunday morning and sitting in a pew make you a member? Yes? No? No. It does not. Again, let's go back to the scripture. Who created the guidelines? Who created the method and what you have to do, what you have to obey, what's the obedience you have to comply with to become a member? We compare ourselves, and I guess that's what happens so much that we get, and the world gets confused with this, people of the world that don't understand it, is because there are other beliefs out there that require a formal application and a process and an interview in order to become a member, which is not God's plan.
Even if it's not God's, like you said.
Yeah, those are man's instructions in those. And if we're wanting to worship God, as Dirk's saying, why would we waste our time trying to comply with man's? Our benefits that we receive from God do not come through men. God gave us this avenue of direct contact with Him through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now going back to what Jackie said here, there are two levels of the church when we have to think about it. The way it's used in the scripture. There is, use the term, there's a church universal. That's the fact that there is one body. There is one church that Christ died for, that Christ paid for with His blood. This church that God planned into existence from the beginning. That's why we say it's the same church in the first century as we are here today. Now, the other factor comes in the fact that there are local churches, local bodies, physical. The universal church is the spiritual church that Christ set up. But did God, in His plan, expect this universal church to have a physical governing body of everybody throughout the whole world and time? No, it doesn't fit. It doesn't make sense. It's a spiritual church that Christ died for. But God, in His wisdom, knew we needed physical structure. We as humans, are we all well organized? Not raising my hand. No. And does it help when someone gives us structure to do something that we can follow a path and follow a model and do? I'm the type that would like to, yeah, someone gives me the instructions, I can follow a recipe, I can do all this kind of stuff and just follow it exactly. If it doesn't turn out right, it's not my fault. God knew that we needed structure, and He created the environment and the organization of the physical body that would be His church on this earth. God gave that structure, and we'll look at that today. Christ said He would, in Matthew 16, when He talked to Peter, He would build His church. In Ephesians 5:23, we're told that Christ is the head of the church. We have to put this in the perspective, and we're thinking about the church. We have this spiritual body, the church, which we share with every other member of the Lord's church on the first day of the week throughout the entire world, that we know we have brothers and sisters that are worshiping God in the same way that we are. And we also have the local church here at Palm Beach Lakes that we, look at different terms here, the church that we have each other here. We have organization. We have responsibilities that God has given us as His church that we are to comply with to be, continue to be Christians. Is it possible to be a Christian all by yourself? To be just a solo Christian? Well, maybe I should classify. Is it possible to be a faithful Christian all by yourself? What if you don't live near anybody? Is there the possibility of that? Yes. Many of us have traveled throughout the U.S. Have we been to places where the Lord's church that meets on a Sunday might only be a handful of people?
Or none.
Or none. If you can find one that's closer than an hour away, yes, there are areas of this country that there aren't many. And that's difficult to do. But I'm talking about a lifetime choice of finding. God has given us requirements of things He expects us to do. And if we don't follow the example, the Scripture tells us, who was it that searched out the church wherever he went? Paul. And he says he placed himself working with them. He joined himself. He became one with them. We're going to look at four different areas of the church and looking at our thoughts and the way God views them and we view them and the way God gave them to us. We're looking at them as the body of Christ, the family of God, the kingdom of God, and the temple of God. When we talk about the church is the body of Christ, is it not? Turn to Romans chapter 12. And also we'll be flipping back over to 1 Corinthians 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. And 1 Corinthians 12. In verse 12, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. And we'll go back to 1 Corinthians here and look at some other things because it continues to, that chapter there talks a lot about the body and made up of members. The body of Christ. We have to, when I look and I study this kind of stuff, and we have to stop and think, we hear that term so often. It becomes commonplace sometimes to us. But do we think and we meditate on what God planned, the way God laid it out, the way, when I start to study this and I start to see this thing, it kind of amazes me. That God did things in such an organized, complete structure that He gave us things that we could comprehend. When He uses the term the body, and even breaks it down to the fact the body has different... Did He understand our physical body? He created us, right? And to think that God... And just remember, God created us on the sixth day. Have we changed physically in our bodies a whole lot since Adam? We haven't evolved, have we? There are certain aspects where cold or heat doesn't bother us as much because we're around it. Our bodies adjust to things, but that's not true evolution the way the world wants to use it. The body as God created on day six is the same body that he's referring to here as the church. Now, when God made man, we see in the scriptures God made things on each day, and each day God thought it was what?
Good.
And then when he made man, he thought what?
Very good.
It was his masterpiece, his great thing that he did, because man was created totally different than any other creation he did, any other thing he made. When God made man, did he make, put things on us or in us that was not really needed? No, that wouldn't be a very good creation, would it? If you made something that was, oh, that's not any good, but I'm going to put it in here anyway. Do you ever think, when we talk about the body of Christ and the church, and the scripture talks about how back in that first century especially, the members of the church were given gifts, right? Miraculous abilities, laying on of the apostles' hands. They had different abilities. They didn't all have the same ability. Some could preach, some could teach, some could speak in languages they had not learned. Some could interpret languages they had not learned. And in that correlation, in the fact that it talks about the body's made up of many members. And does, what other descriptions, what other things that talk about as far as the way people think about the body? Are there some things more important than others? Well, we can guess. We can each make a comment about, well, I like this part better than this. I like my right arm better than my left because it's a little better, and that's the one I use all the time. That's just opinion. But in God's creation, and we talk about the Lord's church, especially the body of Christ, of which Christ is the head. He is the brains. He is the part that guides it. He is the part that gives us life. And that's the human analogy that we have to be wary of. We can't consider any other member being lesser of a member of the Lord's church than we are because we do something different. Not all of us, and that's what we have to understand. That's what that scripture is talking about, because it was specifically relating to the fact that people in that day and age that had differing gifts, some thought some gifts of healing were more important than just being able to interpret someone's language. They were all to the glory of God, were they not? All those miraculous gifts, all those spiritual things that they could do in that first century were all supposed to be for the glory of God. Yes, Dirk? We're supposed to focus on the whole body, body as a whole. We've heard this term like being members where, okay, that's, you're the pinky, or you're the little toe on the foot. We try to think, I went even further than that. You're this one hair on this pinky right here. Is that one hair important to this body? Do you think about you being that one hair on the back of your hand? Right in the middle of the one that's turning gray. Is that, pluck it out. Is that one, that's a member of this body. Is that insignificant? Is it there for a reason? Yeah. It was put there for a reason. Keep that one micrometer warm. To have access to sensitive, I mean, that hair is there to give me sensations of movement and heat and things like that, that it can translate into the rest of my body. Do we focus ourselves down to that point that we can be that hair? If that's where we are, it doesn't matter what gifts or what abilities we have, we're members of this one body. None are any more important than the rest. The only one that's important in this body is the head. And we recognize that. That's Christ. And as we go through our lives, we've talked about the fact that our life as Christians and being a member of the church means we're putting ourselves in a position and in a place that we need to do the Lord's work. Are there things that we can do only within His body in this local church? Unless you by yourself are going to have your own mission Sunday, I mean, or something along those lines, there are things that we do here at Palm Beach Lakes to build one another up as a body. And we are all different. And we all recognize that. There are many things, as I've said many times with people and so forth, and I've tried it. I'm not a preacher. I don't think God gave me that ability. Could I work at it probably and do it? Yeah, I could. But I found an area 30-something years ago when I came back from college and went to work in this congregation that I grew up in that I enjoyed. And I found that God evidently had given me some abilities to teach. He gave me some abilities of remembering things. Some stuff I'd rather forget, but a lot of it's up here. And I can read something and recall it. And that makes for a great ability to teach. And I've enjoyed teaching ever since. Doesn't make me any more important than anybody else here, than the person who's going to spend their time and their effort preparing the Lord's table implements for worship Sunday. For those that are accumulating and taking the setting aside of funds on the first day of the week and giving back to God and taking care of those funds and make sure they're in the proper place. We think about all these things that we each have abilities at, and we need to remember as a Christian, our life as a Christian needs to focus on this body of Christ and understand that we can't do very much. We can't get along very well as a body if we don't have all parts working, choosing to work. The local church is the unit of labor, and its members are to be united in their work, according to Ephesians 4, 1 through 7. It's where we have an opportunity to gather, where one person may not be able to accomplish a great deal, but many of us can. Those of us going back historically, remembering our work that we've gathered together at times, even to do physical work around the property here. When we would gather together and help one another out after the hurricanes of 04 and 05. And even gather together and go over to the other side of the state to help others. A body was able to do that. A group was able to do more than one by themselves. So we have that unity as our life in the Christian, and the body of Christ exemplifies. The church is also the family of God. And from this concept of family, we better understand love. Again, God knew and God gave physical representations of us to understand what His church should be like. A body, a family. How long has family been in existence? Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. There's a family right there. Were they a perfect family? Nope. It's like how many of you never fought with your brothers and sisters if you had them? Yeah, good. You're right with me. God understands that. But I tell you what, don't let anybody else ever pick on my sisters. I'd be right there to fight right in front of them, fighting for them, whatever. They were my sisters. That's what God's family, that's what, when God gave us family here, He exemplifies that. 1 Corinthians 12:26, when one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. When one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Still talking about the body, but we're also looking at the point, as we had that prayer here at the beginning of Bible class, we're remembering and thinking of those of our brothers and sisters that may be hurting physically. We talk many times about our family members here, our family prayer night on Wednesday evening. We focus and we want to be the family. That's what God wants us to be. Isn't it usually said, blood's thicker than water. Blood's thicker than anything else. You're going to be there more for family than you will for a stranger. All these things, you can't come between family. All these sayings and people think about and so forth. Family's a tight organization. This time of year especially is when many of us have had opportunities to get together with family and to enjoy the pleasures of being with family. And some of us that may have family so far away, we miss that. And we understand it. God wants us to be His family. Romans 13. In Romans 13, 8, we have responsibilities to one another. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, verse 9. And if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. As family, we love. As family, we love one another. Are there times that you don't like being around your physical family? Are there times you don't like being around your spiritual family? No one wants to nod their head one way or the other. We may have our problems with physical family, but do you still love them? Yeah. Love everyone. It's what the Scripture says. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another as family. That family bond that God understood, and God created the family bond. And we have this situation that as Christians in our life, we have this understanding of our responsibility with the church. When we can relate it as a body and we're a member of it, we can relate it as a family and desire to be around one another and to love one another. It is the importance that we find in that area, as it says, that's the fulfilling of God's law. That is the greatest, that love we can give to one another. And to understand, too, as I asked the question a minute ago, there are times you don't want to be around your family in the church. Think, jump ahead forward. You think there's going to be times in heaven that you don't want to be around your family there? No. God's given us a testing ground. God's given us the ability to understand that family and our spiritual family. And this is going back up to the universal church. Our spiritual love, the fact that we know we have brothers and sisters in Marsh Harbor, in Paraguay, and so forth, that are all that we're going to see one day in heaven. We don't know them, but we will know them when we get there. Now we'll go up and introduce ourselves. Are we going to be there in heaven and not desire to have that love? We need to stop and think about that as our family here. And our responsibility as a Christian of the church and how we are to have that love and exemplify that love for one another. Not just once in a while, not just on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. That love needs to be there for the church, for our family, all the time, that we can do for one another. The church is also the kingdom of God. For there to be a kingdom, there has to be a what? A king. And just as we know Christ is the head of the church, Christ is our king. Who put him in that position? God did. With a kingdom, there needs to be what? We have a king. What else does there need to be for a kingdom? Subjects. People that make up the kingdom. Does the king alone make up a kingdom? No, that's just one guy in charge of himself. There is a kingdom and there are subjects and there are people that make up this kingdom. And to recognize the fact that, and just as we are, use the term of citizens, we are citizens of the U.S., do we have responsibilities to our leaders? Scripturally as well as physical law? Yes. So therefore, again, we have a physical manifestation that God used and used terminology that we can comprehend and apply to His church. We are to be loyal. We are to focus and understanding and looking at the leadership as Christ is our, as our King. Ultimately, Dirk's saying here, we have a responsibility to our physical leaders. Christ, during His life, recognized the physical leadership of Caesar. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Did He recognize that there were things that Caesar was going to want that God would not? Yeah. And therefore, He said, where God's law supersedes all of man's law, right? But then God's law tells us to be under the leadership of those in charge of our country. Who puts our leaders there? God puts the leaders there. We got to be careful. This is an election year, and we're going to be real careful to be Christians. We got to be careful what we say in the way about leadership. Can we speak of leadership in the way that we compare it to what God's law is asking us to do? Yes, that's what we're required to do. But regardless of who gets in the position of leadership, we're to recognize that leader was placed there by God. Give them the respect that's due them legally, as long as what that leader is requesting or requiring of us does not contradict with what God has told us to do. That's our loyalty, is to not first our physical kingdom that we live in the United States of America. Our loyalty first is to the kingdom of God and the choices that we make there. The church is also called the temple of God. And through this, we have worship. We have family, we have love, we have loyalty, we have unity, we have worship. As the church, are there things that we are required to do? Ephesians 2, 19. You can turn to that, please. Starting with verse 19. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, to whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Jesus is now the chief cornerstone of this temple, His church. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17. For do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Individually, we are considered a temple, our physical body. And his physical church, the local church, is considered a temple whereby a place to worship. Are there specific things that God gave us his plan of how we should worship? Yep. And the old rule is when someone specifies, it means they exclude, right? If there's a specified thing that says to do, does it mean you get to tack on additional things? That's how the Jewish leaders did. They took God's law from Mount Sinai and added on little amendments. That's how man's law does it, not? We got so many amendments on some of these laws that we have, we can't even remember what the original thing law was. As someone who's had to go in and do research on tax law and so forth, there's, you see that, well, it's superseded by this date, this date, this date, and they change one word or whatever, and then suddenly the whole thing is thrown out. Has there been any change in God's law? No. It's great. No amendments. Isn't that great to feel we can go there and we don't have to worry about something changing? We can worship him. We say we strive to be like a first century church because we're striving to worship him in the same manner that they did. We're trying to work in the same manner that they worked. We're trying to love in the same manner that they loved. Where was the first local congregation started? Jerusalem. When? Acts chapter 2, verse 41. We're very familiar with this one. Then those who were gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. What happens? And God gives us the very next scripture. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread. And go on and you read, there's the start of the first church. There's the local church starting up right there. Because it goes all the way to verse 47 that they're praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. So he's adding to the church spiritually. And the people were choosing to place themselves within the local church in order to do some of these things that they were doing. Sold their possessions and goods and divided them up. Can we individually do things like that to help others? Yeah, absolutely. But can the body of Christ as a group sometimes find ways to do that even better? Absolutely. God had a plan. God has a plan that is still good. The acts of worship that we have, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more that as you see the day approaching. There's a great need for us to be together and worship here. Exhorting one another, building one another up, helping one another to get charged up, because we've got to go through a world that's trying to tear us down spiritually. But building us up so that we strive to want to keep steady and to keep doing that which God has commanded us to do. The life of a Christian has a strong tie and a relationship and needs to with the church, with Christ's church. And we need to look at it and understand all the intricacies, and it helps us to meditate on them to make sure we're not missing out on the complete Word of God that tells us all things, that we can be complete Christians.